Today we are going to read from Old Testament, one of the prophets by name Habakkuk, chapter 3, the last few verses, 17 through 19. I read from New King James Version, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Habakkuk, his name could be Embrace. All of a sudden, he is thrown at us by his name. But we could find out the background of his life. His life is around B.C. 610, just a few years before the Jerusalem besieged by Nebuchadnezzar the Chaldean from New Babylonia. As man of God, God's spokesperson, he himself, Habakkuk, was puzzled and really deeply troubled in his heart. When he looked around among his fellow Jewish people in southern kingdom of Judah, social injustice and violence are prevalent. It was almost unbearable. And that Babylonians are just about come down to take them, the Israelites. So in his heart, Habakkuk was really frustrated. But interestingly enough, he was bold enough to ask God questions and began having conversation with God. There are not many people brave enough to challenge God by asking, "My God, what are you doing with this nation?" Usually, we just prostrated before God and is asking his mercy upon sinful nation like Kingdom of Judah. But here, Habakkuk, he challenged God. Why did things happen to our nation? Why did Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that whole army is about to invade our country? Because their cruelty is lot worse than our fellow Jews in Southern Kingdom. As if God is about to punish Southern Kingdom's unfaithfulness, breaking covenant relationship with God by worst kind of nation, Chaldeans, by Nebuchadnezzar, the king. So it is really frustrated to think about that upcoming, impending, the national crisis. Though his book is very short, only 3 chapters it has. The last part of that short message is song sung by musical instrument and offered up to God as a form of prayer. In a sense, Habakkuk is like one of us living in 21st century. Many a time, we are in great trouble. And we are godly and obedient to God's commands. But our unbelieving neighbors or our oppressors are prosperous, having no problem at all in their life. There, like Habakkuk, we are really frustrated because we worked very hard, we worked honestly, but the outcome is just a feeble and not good enough for our labor and effort. That's the situation Habakkuk, he was, because the worst kind of cruel nation is about to invade his home country. Though his home country folks, fellow Jewish believers in Southern Kingdom, they are not faithful to God, but somehow God chose the worst kind of cruel nation to punish unfaithful nation of Southern Kingdom. But in the end of his complaining and challenging conversation with God, God, out of his great mercy, and made Habakkuk reflect upon the past, how the Lord God dealt with unfaithful nation of Southern Kingdom, Judah. And the Holy Spirit enlightened his spiritual eyes. Then he could see those material things happening around him and his fellow Jewish people in the land. It's not any more important to him. That outward circumstances would not be any longer important to him. They could not make any longer be anxious or unstable, restless. At the beginning of his conversation with God, his heart, mind was not calm, peaceful, restful. But by the grace of God, God made him reflect upon how merciful God had been with unfaithful Southern Kingdom of Judah. Then he realized by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God gave him firm conviction and assurance. So that's why he offered up such beautiful faith invigorating, generating psalm of praise and thanksgiving. Though the fig tree may not blossom, it means shortage of food because not much promising harvest crops at all. No fruit be found on the vines. So no drinks from vine. Not much. Not enough amount of wine to drink. Though the labor of the olive may fail. Not much oil left for consuming. Not because Jews in the land were lazy, but they worked hard. They labored, but the outcome, the harvest time came, and the crops are not found anywhere. So in the end, the fields yield no food. Not much crops in corn field, in wheat field, and barley field. As if the whole land itself was under curse. On top of that, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, their numbers are shrunk. No more little ones born. And the final nail to the coffin, and there be no more herd in the stalls. Stalls become empty. Not much sheep, not much cows. As if the whole nation is under curse. But when he looked back and reflect upon how the Lord had been with his people, his nation, despite of their unfaithfulness over for 500 years, since King David on. And all of a sudden, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he began to shout. That's why he said, though, and verse 18 said, yet I will rejoice. From his reflection upon the past experience with God's covenantal kindness and faithfulness to his own unfaithful nation of Judah, he realized he had a firm assurance that God never forsook his people. Though God could make them go to captives, exile in foreign land, God would never leave them up forever to destruction. God will bring back, and God will show them their special possession of God. They are holy, nation of God among all Gentile nations on the earth. That is what God told them at the beginning of the starting of their nation. That's what Moses, he told them. God brought them from slavery in Egypt to make them to be his special possession, his special inheritance, so that that nation become nation of holy priests. God's such promise to their forefathers and to the nation was never futile. It stood firmly, unchanging. So he realized God's covenantal faithfulness. That's why he could say, I praise God regardless of just material things and external difficult circumstances. No fruit, victory, no grapes on the vines, no olives and no oil, no produce of any kind in the field, lack of sheep and lack of cattle. Yet, I will praise God because he is faithful. He will never abandon us forever to destruction. So Habakkuk, his heart becomes welled up with internal joy. So his complaint stopped. He did not look at things just on material things, material blessings upon his nation. They suffered extreme loss materially, but he was determined from his reflection on the past to praise God. He remembered God's infinite goodness and mercy in times past. That's why, by the grace of God, he concluded very strongly, God was worthy of all his praise. Specifically, Habakkuk praised God for salvation. That's what he said. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Many a time, we are frustrated with the things on earth, intimate human relationships, or my mental, physical infirmities, and the things we labored hard did not bring enough crops, did not bring enough rewards, enough results. But let us remember, these are all things, visible, invisible, in the world. Habakkuk, he realized that. That's why he came to his own senses, from complainer to God, became man of praise, the core foundation of his life on earth was spiritual, eternal salvation from God. That's why, out of a sudden, all things belong to the world, including human relationship, his own physical, mental conditions, and the material things around him, became insignificant, could not shake his firm belief in God of salvation. God of salvation, God of my salvation, that specific phrase is only found 7 times in the whole Old Testament, 39 books. Only 7 times. 5 found in the Psalms. And the other 2, 1 found here today, Habakkuk. The last 7th is found in Micah chapter 7 verse 7. So, out of 15 books of prophets, Habakkuk with Micah said, no matter what happened to us, the terrible things happened to us, inwardly, I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Therefore, God, my Lord, is my daily strength. Friends, this is as if he became spiritually ever stronger than before. Friends, this is what the secret of our Lord Jesus Christ. Early in the morning, he went to a solitary place, began to worship his Father in heaven. That is what made him internally stronger than before. The more days went by, closer he approached to his excruciating, painful death on the cross. Internally, he became stronger and more spiritual and closer to his Savior, his Father in heaven. Here, like Jesus, when he went to Mount Gethsemane for his final prayers before his betrayal, he sang hymns with his disciples. Less than 24 hours, he could be crucified, but he sang hymns with his disciples. I rejoice, God of my salvation. I will go on, because my God is my strength. No matter what kind of difficulty we have, let us focus on not those things, or not those people around us. Let us focus on our Savior, resurrected Savior, who went before us, who suffered before us, who set himself example before us. And let us come to the throne of grace with thankful heart, with joyful heart, and with trusting heart, because our God is our salvation and our strength. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you for what your Son Jesus has done for us. No matter what kind of difficulties we are in, under very hard circumstances, through Jesus, you are our salvation. Through Jesus, you are our strength. Make us keep going until the joy fills whole our being, so that with that strength, we may take our daily cross and faithfully, joyfully follow footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.